folks, we've been talking about it forever. We hate Dominant Five on this podcast. We do not approve. We do not stand Dominant Five. So today, we're going to help you avoid that nasty chord and hopefully help you make use of yet another tool in the tune shed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music, from history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music listeners, better creators, and better music lovers. I'm your host, Mike Blurry, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and professional musician, Marty Gray. What is up, Marty?
We're recording in the morning, Blake, and it's going to be a relaxing time. We're getting the day started with knowledge.
Getting the day started. And there's a couple things that are different when we record in the morning. First off, both of our hairs are a messes, and it is the way it should be. And second off, it's a real chill time. So, you know, for everyone out there, if it's morning for you, afternoon for you, maybe you're actually going to bed right now, looking to fall asleep. Thanks for keeping the podcast running while you sleep, and have great dreams. And, you know, for the rest of you, buckle up. We're going to learn some great stuff today. Amazing stuff. Welcome. Welcome to the Tune Shed.
We're going to talk about this nasty chord. Let's just give a demonstration.
Oh, yes.
How bad this chord is.
Demonstrate something nasty for us, Marty.
Demonstrate something nasty. So you're writing a song, right? And you're going through the chords. You're trying to decide which chords to use. Pretty typical. Ugh. Yuck. Why? Let's give another example. Ugh. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the 50s. What's that one song? Beauty School Dropout. Whatever, it just sounds like yeah. It's so bad.
It's a little served up on a platter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought of something.
Oh yeah.
Before we get too far into this, I should get my little thing where I say stuff like, "Hey, you know, we're upgrading gear, we're upgrading the podcast experience, and we'd appreciate any support. So if you're into us, we're into you. Of course, you already know that. But there's a link in the show notes always for listener support. So go check it out if you're interested." And appreciate you.
That's right.
I had another thought though about the decades, like how we talk about the decades today. Like we talk about the 70s, 80s, 90s all the time. Mm-hmm. We definitely talk about the 20s, the roaring 20s. But then like the 30s, 40s, 50s, I feel like just what even happened?
We should do like history episodes. That'd be sweet.
Yes.
That'd be kind of dope.
That would be dope. We say history in the intro. We've done some history, but it's usually around people rather than times.
Yeah.
Oh, we did like a little music. Bit about like Detroit music during a certain time.
We did a little Motown.
What was that?
You know what we've got to do? We've got to do the history of the gated reverb from the 80s.
Oh, that's such an interesting like on all the topic. Big drums?
Yeah, like, and I've heard stories about how that was a mistake.
What?
But a mistake. It was like an accident. But I've never bothered to like learn who made that mistake first.
That feels like tea. I want to know.
Yeah, it does feel like tea.
Let's spill
it. We'll do an episode on that for sure.
For now. You know, I took a lot of music theory classes in college because I thought that was the path to becoming a better musician, which it certainly did help me, but it's only one tool in the tool shed. But something I learned is that this one guy was like, hey, you can analyze all music and make an argument that it's just the 5 chord going to the 1 chord. And for people who don't know, the 5 chord is just the chord that starts on the 5th tone in the scale.
Yep.
And the 1 chord is just the chord that starts on the 1 tone of the scale. So like kind of home base. And there's a lot of tension between the 5 chord and the 1 chord. That's kind of the background. But then you can say, well, like, is a 3 chord kind of like a 5 chord? Because they have a couple shared notes. Say, okay, well, if the progression is 3-5-1, then maybe it's actually just 5 and then 1. So since we're hating on the 5 chord, how do we reckon with the fact that? How do we deal with that?
Well, I think The reason that that 5-1 sounds so antiquated is because it's so tried and true, you know? It was the way of connecting chord progressions in Western classical music for hundreds of years, you know? And specifically, like, the 5-7 chord is even stronger. So here's 5-1, right? So if we're here in the key of C,
Beautiful key.
5-1. And here's 5-7-1. Oh my God, am I dumb?
So for all the super non-theory people out there, just want to fill in. A 5-7 chord is just a five chord, so a chord starting on the fifth tone in the scale. And then it has an extra note in it that's called the seven. It's confusing. You use numbers to label different things in music, but essentially it has four notes instead of three notes. And that fourth note is the one Marty kind of hit a couple extra times because it's got a lot of tension that da-da-da-da, it wants to resolve, right?
That's right. And I think the reason that it's fallen out of favor to the modern ear, especially definitely our ears, is because it sort of sounds it has it's associated with like a very like royal, regal emotion almost. Like it sounds like pompous to me.
Yeah,
You know?
it is a
Or
little like antiquated.
Yeah, and like framed the right way, it reminds me of the 50s, which
Yeah.
like, you know,
But there's a
there are
lot of
ways to
like
make that aesthetic
Bach
work.
and Mozart were like crazy about 5-1, right? Like dun 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 dun
Oh
dun dun, you know?
yeah. Think that's the ending of like some Beethoven thing. I don't
Yeah,
remember.
so I mean that's really been like that sounds antiquated to me for
Yeah.
sure. Like if I'm trying to write something modern, I'm not doing that.
Absolutely. But still, just this movement is a very strong way to get back to one. And I
Yeah.
think if we think about a couple ways of reframing five, it can still like be a very strong emotion. It can still work. So I think without explaining too much of the why, I just want to give some examples of ways that you can play with the five chord or change it to get back to one in like an interesting way. And I think
I
that's
like that a lot.
basically this episode. And I don't
Cooler
want to
ways
really get
to resolve.
ways to resolve. I don't think I want to get it too much into like the why and the historical context of this and like who started each chord and who used it in which pop song. Like, let's just give a few examples. Boom. Easy.
Take what you like, take what sounds good.
Let's actually borrow that chord progression from Beauty School Dropout. Let's do it. We can reframe it and make it slower. So instead of this, the first thing I like to do is instead of going to five, go to minor four.
Whoa, so we're in a major key, but we're just hitting a minor four anyways.
And depending on the way you like to write songs and the lyrical content, I mean, it's a very like sad emotion, like sort of a melancholy thing. So if you're in C, A minor, then F, which is four. F major is F A C. Here's that
Yeah.
third, just drop that a half step.
Wow.
So you go F major, F minor, C.
So
And
why
that's.
that's kind of nice. Like that the minor four chord, it does feel like it wants to go back to one. And it feels cool because it's like kind of outside the key because one of the notes isn't in the key, right? So
Yeah.
that's pretty unique, I would
It's
say.
cool. It's definitely a completely different flavor, but definitely a way of getting back to one that's like not five, which is the
Yeah.
whole point.
Choose the path less traveled by, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's do another one. Here's
Yeah.
something kind of close to five. I really like 5-9 instead of 5-7.
Okay, so that
So
means there's going to be four, technically five notes in the chord, but you might just remove that seven and add that nine. And those are just individual notes for those who are You not could. Theory people. Don't worry about it.
That's kind of nice, right? So now we're sort of playing with like isolated extensions and stuff. It's
So
all
I got
about
a
like the notes that you're dropping.
yeah. So that nine, that so when you call it a nine, but okay, a little bit of theory here. So if you play a chord and you got a nine in it, it just means that there's a note that's a ninth up from the root of that chord, right?
Yeah,
So
and you
you play a
could
five chord, it starts in the fifth scale tone, and then you go up ninth up from that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And that note resolves nicely down to the one, doesn't it? It's the same as the two, because there's only seven notes. Seven plus two is nine. That's
Yeah,
cool.
you can shorthand it. You can just think of it like the two
Yeah,
instead of nine.
the two in the scale,
Yeah.
so that's a D, right?
Yeah.
That's nice because it's still a five chord. It just doesn't have all the same notes that were in the antiquated version of the five chord. Instead, you're like, let's just use something else from this five chord to help it go back to one. That's really nice.
Yeah, and the key of C, the five chord is G, and so you can just spell it. You could spell the G and the, you know, the one and the five of the five chord in the bass, the G and the D. And then the G, B, D in the right hand. But you could just add that A. That note right there. And this works especially well if you're kind of using like different notes in your chord patterns anyway. So if you're adding a bunch of twos, like not quite as cringy.
That's cool.
So if you're
So you
adding a
just had
bunch of
that two
twos
kind of
in.
hang out a lot in all those chords.
Yeah, if you're
It's
just,
nice.
if you're using, like, if you're a dumb piano player like I am and you usually just play everything root position, you can just play your chord, but it, instead of playing this third, play the second instead. So drop that note.
That's
It's on
so
just about
nice.
everything.
And that's another thing you could do is like, if you were doing this in MIDI, you put your chords in and just go add the two to all the chords until the last one. And you're building up tension. That two wants to resolve to one. And that's interesting. That's kind of what's interesting. There's certain notes that want to resolve to one more, and you can just use any of them, I guess, kind of is like you can just sprinkle them in and they'll want to resolve to one. But if you do five with the seven, it's going to sound like that more antiquated thing. And I'm sure there's ways to pull it off, not as antiquated, but for the sake of example, is what we're doing here, right?
Yeah, funk music likes to omit a lot of notes, right?
Oh,
So
really?
funk, and yeah, so funk music will like, the bass line will sort of. Very sparse.
Yeah.
I mean, funk music also plays with blues scales, which we can't really get into now because it's too complicated. But yeah, there's a lot of like 5-1 movement in funk. Some 5-1 movement in soul that works really well. Actually, let's talk about a soul example. So, here's a super, super soul chord. And the way you can think of this chord is like 5 in the bass and then 4 in the treble. So,
Whoa.
you go. Here's how it sounds.
So you have the five note in the bass and the four chord in the treble?
Yeah, so I'm playing G with my left hand, and I'm playing F major in my right hand. It's just like the most soul, the most soul way of getting
That's
back to
hot.
one
I like
ever.
that. That's super
Yeah.
cool.
It feels very like lovely. It feels very like Stevie Wondery.
Oh, maybe that's why I like it so much.
It also has a lot of like movement potential.
I have a rule. When a Stevie Wonder comes on shuffle, I never skip it.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
So good.
Too good.
That's a cool one. I really like that one. It's sort of like, hey, let's play the five chord. And then they're like, actually, in our right hand, let's just not. But
Yeah,
we still have
let's
that
just.
five note in the bass. And by the way, if you haven't heard our episode, Only the Lowest Note Matters, that one blew my mind. It's like an early episode, like first 20 or something. Maybe even earlier, but that one is really cool and explains why you're still getting that tension to resolve to the one, even though you're just playing a four chord. It's because the lowest note is really telling your brain what's going on harmonically.
It's true.
Good
And
shark.
the funny thing is about the whole five chord controversy is that jazz sort of solved this already,
Oh,
like
what?
in the bebop era. So in jazz theory, you're just adding seven to every chord. That's where
Okay.
it starts, right? So instead of that, you're But that's a problem, right? This is not jazzy at all. That
Oh,
is not jazz.
because the 5-7 chord, because it's been used so much in the past, it's not jazzy to just show up.
Yeah, and it's just not hip, bro.
So they don't just add a 9 there, or what do they do?
Well, here's nine. Here's what it sounds like if I add nine. It's a
Pretty
little
cool.
better. It's a little
A little
better.
better.
But doesn't really work. And in jazz, everything is sort of built around 2-5-1, so it's
Yeah,
little
sounds
not really
familiar, you
working.
know.
So there's a lot of extensions and different chord patterns that jazz musicians use. The most popular one I want to sort of illustrate as the flat 5 sharp 11. And the way that you can think about this is if you have your 5 chord in the key of C, you start on G. You want to build this pattern from a whole step below G. So you want to start on F in your right hand. You want to play an F major 7 chord, and then you want to flat the 5.
The five of the chord, like the C
Yeah,
to a
the
B
C.
flat.
Yeah. Yeah, your middle finger. That's how to build a flat 5 sharp 11.
Wait, so why is it both a flat?
Well, if you spell it out, you have this sharp 11 right there. And then you have your flat 5 right there. And this will work sort of in any five. So let's say we're building our five from E flat. You want to start a whole step below that, so D flat. You want to play a D flat major 7. And then you want to flat the 5. So from there to there. And that's sort of the way, like one of the ways that jazz musicians have built extensions to sort of like make it more interesting and
So they're
harmonically
like, let's mess
complicated.
this chord up so it doesn't
Yeah.
sound like a 5-7.
Well, so instead of, would sound more.
That's really smooth. Yeah, it's way smoother. Like the first one works for sure, but that second one you played was like, it's like suave, which I feel like is the jazz vibe. You gotta kind of, oh, you're right there. Oh, unexpected territory, but still nice.
Yeah, and I think you're hitting on something really important, is that the way that you go back to one has so much emotional information in it. Right?
True.
And so people throughout history have been coming up with ways to sort of imbue that movement with different feelings, right? And so that specific movement feels very suave. Also, I was playing like nice big nine chords, which are historically suave, but there are ways to do sort of 2-5-1 in a minor key that sound like really evil. There are ways to, if you're playing some sort of like folk music, there are extensions that you can add in your guitar to make 5-1 sound like a little less hokey, and hacky and like old country, and make it sound like a little more woodsy, by hanging on that two or letting the A string just like resonate and it causes a weird suspension, And I think the mindset that I want to encourage is there are ways to go 5-1 that sort of imbue your song with the emotion that you're looking for.
That is a really good point because it's such a critical moment. Like the whole point of a key is sort of that there's a home and then there's away from that home. And so you're waiting for the resolution, you're waiting for that emotional information. So really fun that actually kind of blew my mind with the just adding the two in, but it kind of gave me permission. I should just start messing with everything and just see how it feels to go home with certain additions and subtractions to the chords and sort of remember the mood of it. Because then in the future I'm writing a song and I'm like, ah, I need to go home, but I don't want this or I don't want that. Or I do want this or that. And I might know then, hey, the two kind of sounds good. I could add that. That's the information that I want to give. That's beautiful.
And I think the way to be thinking about this specific problem shouldn't be from a theory jumping off point, it should be from an emotional jumping off point. Like the way that I'm navigating this chord progression sounds too happy, and so I need to find a way to make it sad or more melancholy, And so then giving yourself permission to start changing the notes around and using some of these ideas, that's the good good.
That's a beautiful thing, Marty. I thought we were coming into this episode just to hate on the five chord, but really it was to show that there's a lot of things out there.
We're only hating on the five chord in its purest element.
Yeah, it's actually amazing. That's a twist.
That's all I got, baby. That's
All
it.
right. That's beautiful. I mean, I'm gonna go take that to my music making right away. I guess until next time, everybody, much love.
Bye.